the strongest in our life, the thoughts that we repeatedly think about in our life, oftentimes have influence on the direction of our life. And when we think about that, it connects so much with what's happening here in 2 Corinthians 10, because the Apostle Paul is writing to believers in this diverse city. There's this church, these different churches in the city called Corinth. It was a very diverse, a background type of city, very much similar to Hampton and Hampton Roads, and their church was diverse, kind of similar to ours across age and across ethnicity. But one of the things that the Corinthian believers were experiencing was they were experiencing negative influences by false teachers. False teachers were beginning to make their way into the church and beginning to say things and question things that were not like God. They begin to postulate things like questioning the resurrection of Jesus, raising questions whether or not Jesus even resurrected. They begin to call God's word into question. They begin to even challenge the apostleship and the authority that the Apostle Paul had. And so now what's happening is the Apostle Paul, as he is addressing these erroneous lies that are invading the life and the minds of the people in the church, in the church at large. And so because of the false teachings that were now out of control in the church and in the minds of the people, it not just only led to thoughts that were out of control, but it led to their lives being out of control. And when you look at and do a survey of the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, what you constantly see is the Apostle Paul correcting erroneous or ungodly, unbiblical thought patterns. He's constantly dealing with the things that are not like God. And the reason why this is so important, y'all, the reason why your beliefs and your thoughts are so important, I want you to lean in and get this today. Here's the reason why. Because how you live is often shaped by what you believe. Your beliefs are oftentimes influencing your behavior. Your thoughts are oftentimes influencing your life. And the believers now were experiencing a battle, if you will, in their mind. Warfare when it came to their minds. The truth of God being questioned by the lies of the enemy. And this is something that the enemy has been doing way back since the beginning of time. Because in Genesis chapter 3, when he first steps onto the scene, the very first words that come out of Satan or the devil or Lucifer or the enemy's mouth were, "Did God really say?" He was beginning to plant seeds of doubt in the minds of Adam and Eve. And I want you to realize that the attack of the enemy, he is very strategic. He doesn't start with oftentimes the most obvious of things. He oftentimes begins with the most subtle of things. Did God really say? He doesn't try to plant a tree in your mind of lies. He plants a small, small doubt in the form of a seed in our minds. Because he realizes that that small seed and thought in your mind can take you on a trajectory that can cause your life to derail for the worse. I don't know if y'all are familiar with, if y'all have seen the movie Inception. It's one of my favorite movies by this director, a very well-known director, Christopher Nolan. He directed all the Batman movies that were taking the world by storm from about 2005 to 2012. But he made this movie called Inception, and the whole concept behind the movie, it's literally a mind-blowing movie. And the whole inception, or rather the whole genesis and makeup of the movie was, they talked about how the dreams that people were dreaming, how that affected things playing out in these different aspects of the real world. But oftentimes it started with a simple planting of the seed in the mind. And I find that to be very fitting, because I think that's exactly what the enemy does. He wants to plant seeds of doubt, discouragement. He wants to plant seeds of fear in our minds. You and I are in constant warfare. We are in a constant battle, not just externally, not even externally, but internally in our minds. Because the enemy knows if he can get your mind he can get your life. If he can get your mind out of control, he can get your emotions out of control. If he can get you to think ungodly thoughts, then it can lead to an ungodly life. If he can get you to think negatively about a person, then it will cause you to treat that person negatively. He realizes and he understands. He's been doing this since the beginning of time. He is a master tactician when it comes to spiritual warfare. And a lot of times we typically think that the enemy is going to come at us with a red little pitchfork and a little horns on his head. No. He comes in the most subtle of ways. And he plants seeds in our minds. There is a war in your mind. There is a war for your mind. And some of you are here today watching online in this place, and you feel like you are losing the battle in your mind. You feel like your mind is out of control. It seems like you can't get a grip on these thoughts. You have thoughts of discouragement. You have thoughts of doubt. You have thoughts of fear. You have thoughts of worry. You've been questioning your self-worth. You've been questioning your value. You think you're a terrible parent. You think you're a terrible spouse. You think you're a terrible student. You believe the lie that you're not loved by anyone. You wrestle with thoughts thinking that life can't get better than what it is. You've had thoughts of harming yourself. You've had suicidal thoughts. You've had all these different types of thoughts that are not coming from God. They are coming from the enemy. But if you're here today and you are dealing with turmoil in your mind and you can't think straight and you think that you're a failure and you think that you're a loser and you think that God doesn't love you, you think you can't win this battle, I'm here to give you good news. And that good news is that you are not in this battle by yourself. You are not alone in this. God is for you. He has not abandoned you. He's not going anywhere. He is right by your side. This battle is not even yours. The Bible says this battle belongs to the Lord, the one who defeated sin, the one who defeated death, the one who defeated the grave, the one who defeated evil, the one who rose on the third day. He says this battle is in yours. I'm fighting with you. I'm fighting for you. I have not left you. I'm beside you. This battle is not yours. It belongs to God. He's fighting with you, and he's fighting for you. He says in John 10:10, this is our theme scripture for the year of abundance. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But what does he say right before that? John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your peace of mind. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of being able to experience happiness. He wants to rob you of feeling secure in who you are in Christ. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, which means you no longer have to bow to the enemy. He has power that he wants to use in your life to help you overcome the battles that you are dealing with up here. Everybody point to your head up here. This is where it's at. This is where it's at. It's not out here. It's up here. It's not going on around me. It's about what's happening on the inside of me. But I wonder if there's anybody here today that can say, I'm sick and tired of allowing the enemy to dictate my life. No longer will I be on the defense. I'm taking the battle to the enemy, because the Bible says that in Christ and through Christ that we have victory because of what he did on the cross. No longer will I allow the enemy to come in my mind and dictate how my life is going to be taking shape. No longer will I believe the lies of the enemy. I'm ready to walk in freedom. And I just want to know, is anybody here this morning at 11 o'clock online in person who's saying, I am tired of living from a victim mentality, but I'm ready to walk in the victory that Jesus has made available? Which means this, that depression does not have to have the last word. Anxiety doesn't have the last word. Worry doesn't have the last word. Doubt doesn't have the last word. Fear doesn't have the last word. Discouragement doesn't have the last word. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and to set you free from the bondage that you're walking through. And I love this because he says this in Luke 4, verses 18 through 19. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah, which was a prophetic message back in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah. And he, the Messiah who has come, he is reading this prophetic scroll in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Watch this, to set free the oppressed And some of you are in here right now, and there's oppression going on in your mind. There's oppression going on in your thoughts. There's diabolical thoughts that you've been wrestling with for months and for years. And Jesus says, I have come to set you free from the oppression and from the turmoil and from the strongholds that are going on up here. Then he says this, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which means this is the year that you can begin to walk in freedom. This is the year that you can begin to walk in victory. This is the year that you can begin to win the war that is in your mind. You have been dealing with certain thoughts for years. You have generational thought patterns for years that have led you to where you are right now. But Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You no longer have to live at the level that you have settled for. God has so much more for you. He wants to set you free. Some of you are here today, let's be real, come on, I need you to be honest with me. Some of you are here today and you can testify that when you felt like you were losing a grip on life, Jesus didn't lose his grip on you. Some of you can say amen to that because of what he has brought you out of. He sets you free from depression. He sets you free from your fear. He sets you free from the mental prison that you were in. He sets you free from the generational bondage. He is a God who majors in setting people free. And he gives us victory. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that can celebrate and give God praise for the fact that he can set us free, that he promised us to bring freedom? I want to know, where are my people at this morning at this 11 o'clock service that can say, I thank God that in Christ Jesus there is victory. He conquered sin and he conquered death and he conquered the grave and he conquered evil. And if he can do that, he can set me free from the mental stronghold that I'm in. He is the one who can set me free. And some of you, for so long, you have been, can I say this respectfully? I say this in love. You have allowed the enemy to turn you into a human punching bag. But he says, you are a child of the King. You are a child of the Most High God. No longer does your life have to be a human punching bag. No, you are a victor in Christ Jesus. No longer does your life have to look the way it looked in 2022 and in 2021 and in 1995. No, this is the day that the Lord has made. And he wants you to walk in freedom to win this war in the mind. Somebody say, I declare war. We declare war on the attacks of the enemies in our minds. I was so excited to preach this message and kick off this series because I prayed about this months ago back in November on my personal pastoral retreat that I go on every year. And one of the things that God impressed upon my heart was to make sure that we leaned into what the truths of Scripture have to say about the mental things that we deal with. I've had more conversations in the past month than I've ever probably had at any time in my life. People who are wrestling with thoughts of suicide, people who have tried to attempt suicide, people who've been dealing with depression, people who've been dealing with stress, and people who've been dealing with anxiety. And God told me back in November, I want you to give my people a word that will set people free, that no longer do they have to be subjugated to all the attacks of the enemy. No, they can walk in freedom. They can declare war because we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. The empty grave is all the evidence and the faith that we need that Jesus is able to take care of whatever it is that we face. Which means this, we can declare war on all the attacks of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, the negative thoughts that get planted here, toxic thoughts that reside in here. He says, declare war on that. And when he tells us and when he encourages us to let us know that we can declare war on that, as we see in the scripture, he doesn't just say this just because, but he says this for good reason. Reason number one, I want you to write this down, is this, because he has equipped us for our battles. Somebody say, he's equipped me. Come on, say it like me. Say, he's equipped me. Come on, online. Say, I want y'all to say it together. I got what I need. I got what I need to fight this battle. Here's what verses 3-4 says. Since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. Paul says here, watch what he says, the weapons of our warfare, which means this, we got some weapons. They're not the weapons of this world. They're not the weapons of culture. They're not the weapons of society. No. These weapons are different. These resources are different. We have something at our disposal that we can use when we face battles in our mind. And not only do we have weapons, they are powerful weapons. Meaning this, they are effective weapons. You know what that word powerful means in the original language of the Bible? It is the Greek word dunamis. It is where we get our English word dynamite. Explosive power. In other words, God has not just given you and I any type of weapon. He's given you and I dynamite type weapons. Explosive type of weapons. Weapons that when you apply it to a situation and detonate it, it destroys everything around it. That's the type of power and resource that God has given you. Which also helps us to understand. He says the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. What does it teach us? It teaches us this. I want you to write this down. That the battle in our minds, it is not natural. It is spiritual. It is spiritual in nature. I always say this, and I stand by this firmly till the day I die. Everything at its core is spiritual in nature. It just manifests itself in the natural. The disagreement that you have with people on a regular basis, it's not about whatever y'all arguing about. It's something rooted spiritual. But as long as you continue to fight a spiritual problem with a natural remedy, you will always lose. As long as you try to fight physical or spiritual problems and spiritual issues with physical remedies, you will always continue to lose. Let me say it like this. We can't fight spiritual battles in natural ways. Spiritual warfare requires spiritual weapons. It's spiritual. Somebody say it's spiritual. It's spiritual. But it manifests itself in the natural. So when we talk about things like anxiety and depression and fear and clinical anxiety and things of this nature, there are physical aspects of that. But there's oftentimes a spiritual root to it as well. Because you can deal with the symptoms on the surface, but if you don't deal with the root beneath the surface, the symptoms will just come back up in a different way. So we need the natural remedy, but we also need the spiritual remedy as well. God is not the either or God. He's oftentimes a both and God. You need prescription probably, and you also need prayer. You need theology and you need therapy at the same time. But he's equipped us. He's given us what we need. How do we know this? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says it like this. His divine power has given us everything. Somebody say everything. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, which means this. When you come to know Christ and you are in relationship with Christ, he has already given you access to everything you need for life and to live the victorious, abundant life that he's called you to live. You have an unlimited artillery of weapons. Let me say it like this. God has an unlimited bag. He's always in his bag. But you know what he's done in Christ Jesus? He's also given you that same bag. What bag has he given us to fight with? Paul says it like this, because this battle is spiritual. These thoughts that you deal with, they're spiritual in nature. God gives us what the Bible says, spiritual armor, spiritual weapons. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says it like this, finally be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. There's another scripture in the Bible, and I believe in the book of 2 Corinthians, where it says, Paul says, we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes. Can I help y'all understand something? I need y'all to lean in. Satan is always scheming. He's always plotting. You playing checkers, he's playing chess. So he's always scheming. He's always plotting. He's always being devious. He's always deceptive. He is scheming. But Paul says, we're not ignorant to his schemes. And now here in Ephesians, he says, now put on God's armor so that you can stand against his schemes.
Because no soldier goes to battle without his armor. And some of us are trying to fight these spiritual battles, can I say it like this, naked, uncovered. And then we wonder why we take loss after loss, and we wonder why our emotions are down, and we wonder why we can't walk in victory. And Jesus is saying, because you haven't put on my armor. He says, I give you what you need. Put it on. Cover yourself. Somebody say, strap up. Now you can take that in many different ways. I know we got all types of this conversations about weapons and all this type of stuff. You're like, Pastor, I got the peace of God in. I got a peace too. I'm going to leave that between you and Jesus. I ain't talking about that. But God has given us spiritual armor to fight spiritual battles. So he says, but check out verse 12, y'all. This is why I say your battles, the things that you deal with, they're not natural in nature. And Paul says that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms or in the spiritual realms. So in other words, your fight is not against your coworker. Your fight is not against your family member. And it's crazy because the enemy will have us all distracted, fighting each other and fighting all these other things. He's like, man, they don't even recognize I'm getting them. I got them fighting a battle that they ain't never going to win because they fighting the wrong battle. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, wickedness in high places. So here's what he says in verse 13. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything, take your stand. I love this. I never saw this part until just now. And having prepared everything to take your stand, you got to be prepared for war. You got to be prepared. You got to recognize that every single day is going to be a fight. Some of y'all, it was a fight to get to church this morning. You battled with thoughts of inadequacy. You battled thoughts of shame. You battle thoughts of guilt. I can't go to church after what I did last night. I can't go to church after I slept with this person this past week. I can't go to church because of lying to this person or being disobedient as a child. I can't do this. I can't pick up my Bible because surely God doesn't love me. If I go in this joint, I'm a burst into flames. All these are lies, and the enemy is working in overdrive. I believe that's why he did everything he can to get you to not get to this service today, to get you to not watch online today, to get you to not watch this message at a later time. He has done everything he could in his power to keep you from getting here, but it did not work because you are here, because you got the power of God fighting on your side with you, accompanying you. Says, having prepared for everything to take your stand, you got to be prepared for the battle. But verse 14, here's what it says. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Now, I don't have time to unpack the spiritual armor piece by piece. You can come on Wednesday night. We can talk about that. But what I do want to talk about is the last verse in verse 17. He says this in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What does a helmet do? It protects your head. Why is that necessary? Because without my head, I can do nothing. Without my helmet protecting my head, I am subjugated and I am exposed and open to the arrows of the enemy. So what Paul says is you need to guard your mind with the helmet of salvation. But I love it because he doesn't stop there. Here's the next piece he says. And also the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, God has given you something to cover your head, to protect your mind, but he's also given you a weapon to fight against the lies and the attacks of the enemy. It is the only offensive weapon that he mentions here in Ephesians 6, and it is a sword, and the sword represents the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It is the Scriptures. It is the Bible. It is the very thing that God, as Scripture says, has breathed out for our edification and for our sanctification and for our protection and for us to be who God has called us to be. God says, I have given you a weapon to fight off the lies, the negativity, the toxic thoughts of the enemy, and it's my Word.
Which means this, we use the Word. We think the Word. We talk the Word. We obey the Word. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, every single time the enemy came and tempted him, every word that came out of Jesus' mouth was from the Word. And the principle there is that when you and I find ourselves in trials and in temptations and find ourselves being tempted to go down a certain path or have these opportunities come to us that are not from God or not of God, what should flow from our lives is the Word of God. What should flow from our mouths is the Word of God. What should garner our thoughts is the Word of God. What should ground our spirits is the Word of God. This Word right here is the very thing that God has given you to ward off the enemy, and I'm here to let you know it works. The Word still works, y'all. I don't know if you know this or not, but this thing still works. And the enemy has done everything he can to shut this down for thousands of years, but it has not failed. It has always failed simply because the author of this book is alive. The author of this book is still on the throne. The author of this book still has power.
He says, strap yourself with the Word.
This is why the Bible says, the songwriter says, I hide your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you. So my recommendation is that you would not just try to memorize the word, internalize the word. Don't just get it in your mind, get it in your heart. So that now what happens is when the enemy tries to come at you with these thoughts in your mind, the Word of God can come up from your heart and now begin to infiltrate your mind. So when the enemy says that you are a loser, you can say, no, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I got something to fight back with. Somebody say, I've been equipped. Or like I like to say, get the strap. Get the strap. Right here. Get the strap. Take it with you. Take it with you wherever you go. Download it on your phone. Put a Bible in your car. Have scripture in your house. I remember there was a couple who was a part of our church. They moved because they were military. They moved to another state some years ago. But one of the things that he told me, he said, Pastor Edwin, I am so committed to making sure God's word is in my life that I started writing scriptures down and putting sticky notes with scriptures all around the house. So when I'm in the bathroom handling what I need to handle, I see the word. When I'm in the car, I see the word. When I'm in the kitchen, I see the word. When I'm in the dining room, I see the word. I want to be equipped with the word wherever I go. And here's the reason why I want you to write this down. Because the word of God will only work in your life when you work it into your life. This is why James 1 says, don't just be hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves, but also be doers of the word. So it's not enough for me, family, just to come here in church, and to hear the word. No. That's good. That's the first step. But I need to now allow that word to penetrate my mind and to now penetrate my heart. God has given us everything that we need to fight against the enemy and the battles that he launches against us. The word of God is able to fight off lies. The word of God is able to fight off temptation. The word of God is able to fight off bondage. The word of God is able to fight off deception. The word of God. God still works. He has given us what we need to fight these battles. Parents, the greatest gift that you can give your kids is an understanding of the Word of God. Young people, the greatest thing that you will ever do in your life after surrendering to Jesus is to be committed to His Word, to know Him better, and to know how to live your life. Get in His Word so that His Word can get in you. He's equipped you. He's equipped us for our battles. I love that because it lets us know that we're not fighting this battle with nothing. No, we got something to fight. But here's the second thing I want to give us, that he's not only equipped us for our battles, but he's also empowered us for our battles. Somebody say, I have authority. No, say it like you mean it. Say, I have authority. And for some of us, that's hard for us to say. It sounds weird to say that. I want you to know you have authority. With any weapon that is purchased, you can't just use it without a license. And what God does with his weapon, he says, I don't just give you the tool, but I also give you the permission. And I love it because Paul says it like this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When you look at verse 4, he says this, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God, meaning they come from God, for the demolition of strongholds. Watch this. I love this because whenever I read this verse, this next verse I'm about to read, I feel so much power when I read this. It's almost like a spiritual swag comes upon me. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. When Paul says these words, I feel like I can run through a wall. It's like my boy Jalen Hurts from the Philadelphia Eagles giving a pregame speech. We're going to score. We're going to defend. We're going to run up to score on them. We're going to cause havoc. We're going to cause fumbles because that's what we do. And I see that in the spirit of what Paul is saying. Because of God, because of the power he's given us, we demolish arguments. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. We got permission. And this word demolish, you know what this means? It means to tear down. It means to destroy completely, which means what do we do now with this empowerment that we receive? Paul teaches us here that we now take our thoughts captive. We take hold of them, watch this, rather than allowing them to take hold of us. We take hold of them rather than allowing them to impact us. This word captive is actually a warfare term. It's this Greek word. It means to capture with a sword. Well, good news, family. We got a sword to capture these thoughts. And that sword is the word of God. And it's interesting because Paul doesn't just mention arguments, but then he also says this. We demolish strongholds. Stronghold is a place that it was reserved to hold prisoners captive. For us, that means destructive patterns of thought that are holding us captive. Things that are leading people astray, leading people down an ungodly path, leading people down an unhealthy path. I want to let you know that the enemy's job and desire is to enslave us, but God's desire is to empower us. He says, I came to set the captives free. And I love this because he says, I came to set the captives free. And now Paul is saying, because the captive that was once held captive has been set free, now that free person is able to take things captive. So the very thing that was taking me captive, now in Christ Jesus, I am able to take it captive. And can I ask us a simple question today, family? Online, I want to ask you a question. What lies have you been believing from the enemy? What things have you been allowing to take your mind captive? He is a master at convincing us to believe the lies which he contributes to using us to being in bondage. But Paul says we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. We take captive the thoughts that are negative. We take captive the thoughts that are demonic. We take captive the thoughts that are sinful. We take captive the thoughts that are unhealthy. We take captive those thoughts. Matter of fact, when I was thinking about this, I was like, God, how can I help your people understand this? And an illustration came to mind when I think about captive. I think about a hand, and I've been thinking about a hand and how it grabs something. And so now when Paul says we take captive every thought, I attribute that to the same example. And what does it look like? It says, it looks like when I have thoughts of negative, toxic thoughts that come into my mind, thoughts that may say things like, I'm ugly. Paul says, capture it. I'm not loved. Capture it. Come on, I want you to do it with me. Things can't get better. I
Capture it. I'll never graduate. Capture it. Thinking of going to this pornography site, I'm going to capture it. Thinking about doing something ungodly, I'm going to capture it. I'll always be an addict. No, capture it. God won't forgive me. Capture it. God is saying, I've given you power to capture the things that are coming against you. Capture it. Matter of fact, when you go to your job this week and when you're around the house and you might be walking around the house, some thoughts may come in your mind. You're at your job. Just start doing this right here. People might look at you crazy and people might try to be trying to figure out, what are you doing? And you can just tell them, don't worry about it. You can't see what I'm doing because I'm operating at a whole nother frequency. I'm operating at a whole nother wavelength. I'm taking captive these thoughts that try to exalt themselves higher than the knowledge of God. I'm capturing it. I'm capturing it. I'm capturing it. Take it captive. That's what we're doing from now on. I'm not good enough. Capture it. I never amount to anything. Capture it. I'll never be loved by anybody. Capture it. I'll always be alone. Capture it. And what do? We capture it. Paul says, then we surrender it. We take captive every thought and we bring it to Christ. This is wartime language. And whenever a prisoner like was captured, oftentimes, especially in the Roman army, the prisoners would typically be brought captive. And then the Roman centurion, or rather the Roman emperor, would give the execution sentence for that prisoner to be executed. So when Paul says, capture these thoughts, surrender them to Christ, we are bringing them to the one who has the authority to execute. When we bring them to Christ, he executes them. When we bring toxicity to Christ, he executes them. When we bring negative thoughts, he executes them. Capture these thoughts and surrender them to Christ. Every anxious thought, every impure thought, every ungodly thought, every sinful thought, every negative thought, we are bringing every thought in line with Jesus. We capture it and we surrender it. I'm a victim. No. I'm a son and daughter of the King. I'll always be miserable. No. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'll always be alone. No. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'll never have enough. No. He said that he will promise to provide all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We demolish arguments and we take captive every thought to obey Christ. Here's what Romans 8 31 says, I'm going to close with this. It says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? If God is for me, who can stand against me? Watch verse 32. He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all by him going to the cross. How? Watch this. How were he not with him? Grant us everything. Watch what verse 37 says. No, in all these things now, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Can I encourage you to let you know this today? You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. This is who you are. Some of you have thought, I'm a failure because you have failed. Failure is not a person, it is an event. And Jesus says, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves us. I want you to know, family, that God has given us his power. God has given us his permission to tear down the thoughts that are trying to tear us down. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today who is ready to declare war against the enemy, ready to declare war against the lies of the enemy, ready to declare war against the strongholds that are present? We declare war against strongholds. We declare war against toxic thoughts. We declare war against depression. We declare war against worry. We declare war against anxiety. We declare war against these things that are trying to take us captive. To hold us hostage. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that game, I Declare War, from back in the day, card game. It's a card game. And the whole object of the game was to eventually get all the cards of your opponent. Can I give you this encouragement? The reason why we can declare war is because in Christ Jesus, the fix is in. The battle is already won. The deck has been stacked. So when we declare war in Christ Jesus, we already have victory. So now, family, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory, which is why the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Oh grave, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory?" Thanks be unto God. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, that in Christ Jesus, he has given us the victory, which is why now we can declare war, because we already know that the battle has been taken care of in Christ Jesus. We are child and children of the Most High God. We are children of the King. We are sons and daughters of the Victor, and his name is Jesus Christ. He has given us power. He has given us victory. He has given us ability. He has given us power. He has given us permission. He has given us the tools. So today, I want to invite us to stand to our feet. Today, we declare war against suicidal thoughts. We declare war against thoughts of inadequacy. We declare war against every impure thought, every racist thought, every divisive thought. We declare war against it today. And some of you are here today, and you have been in a fight for not just your life, but for your mind. And this is not something that just certain people deal with, older people deal with, but it impacts people of all ages, young people, older people. Many of you are here today, and you felt like you've been in a losing battle. Some of you have wrestled with deep, dark thoughts to end your life. You've wrestled with thoughts of significance and value. You've taken prescription after prescription, and it hasn't helped at the core. But I want to encourage you to let you know that in Christ Jesus, you can wage war against the enemy. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is against the world. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you an honest question. If you're here this morning, this is for you online as well. If you're here this morning and you're saying, "Pastor Edwin, you have read my mail this morning. It's me. I'm the one dealing with depression. I'm the one dealing with these thoughts of harming myself. I'm the one who is wrestling with thoughts of value and worth and significance, questioning my identity." If this is you this morning and you're wrestling with this, would you do me a favor and just lift up your hand? Because I want to see you. You're here. Amen. You're here. You've been wrestling with this. Dealing with this. Some of you, it's stress. It's anxiety. Come on, lift up your hand if that's you. Father, for every hand lifted, I pray right now that your word has strengthened them. They would know that greater is he who is in them than he was in the world. I pray right now in the name of Jesus against suicidal thoughts. God, we declare war, and we come against depression, and we come against anxiety, we come against worry, we come against fear, we come against stress, we come against all these things that have been trying to control us and have been controlling us for too long. We come against all the dark demonic powers of the enemy where he's tried to snuff out our lives, but it did not work. It failed. It did not prosper. We thank you that in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. And I pray this over every single person under the sound of my voice today, Father, who is dealing with this, who is wrestling with this, who feels like they have been losing in the war in their mind. I pray that today will be a turning point for them, that they would know that you've never left them nor forsaken them, that you are with them, that you are for them, not against them. If you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed as well, and you're apart from Christ, I want to let you know this. Please listen to me with your heart. Apart from Jesus, you can't win this battle. You can't do this on your own. I don't care how many prescriptions you take. I don't care how many therapy sessions you go through. Those things are good. But without Jesus, you can't win. But if when you surrender to Jesus, he is the path to victory. He is the path to overcoming. He is the path to walking in power. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to say yes to him. I need to give my life to him. I need to put my faith and trust in him for my salvation and for power. Today, I want to give my life to him. My head's about and eyes are closed. If this is you and you're saying today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't want to just be a part of a church. I want to be a part of his family. I want to be a part of Christ. I want him to be in me and me and to be, me to be in him. If you're here today, my head's about and eyes are closed. If you're here saying, I want this for my life. I want to know him. Would you raise up your hand? If this is you, would you just slip up your hand? Just want to see you. If this is you, you want to say yes to him today. Amen. If you're here and you want to say yes to Christ, online and in person, would you say these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your love. I receive your grace. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, let the redeemed.